Hebrews chapter number 10. The book of Hebrews chapter number 10. The book of Hebrews is in the New Testament. And sort of towards the end there. The book of Hebrews chapter number 10. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 1300. We're going to read a few verses there. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I told Kim this morning, you know, if we really all can't come to worship, there's no reason why we couldn't. The Lord desires to be worshiped. And John 4:24-25 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we desire to worship. We come to worship. And I hope that's why you come today. But if you found your place, we'll start in Hebrews chapter 10. Read verse 19 down through verse number 22, and you pray with us this morning that the Lord would speak to our hearts. The Bible says in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for letting us be here today and the many blessings you've given to us. And Lord, the time of study that I've been able to have this week around Lord, the Word of God, I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that, Lord, we'd be reminded of these very all-important things that we find in the Word of God. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, you'd give us a greater burden for those that are lost, for the ministry of prayer, Lord, that we ought to have as your children. Lord, to see souls saved, Lord, we pray that you'd help us, Lord, to live as we ought to in these last days before a lost and dying world. Lord, that we'd be different as we studied about in our Sunday school lesson this morning, that others might see a difference in our lives and in our attitude and, Lord, how we live and, Lord, the message that we have, that it's true and it's right. And, Lord, I thank you forever. Person that's here today, I pray, Lord, you'd help us just to get the things of this world off of our hearts and minds for a time this morning that you might speak to us. We'll thank you for all that you do. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen.
Let's read that verse number 19 one more time in the book of Hebrews. The Bible said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And that's where we're going to start at today. But I want to say just a little bit by way of introduction that when we look in the book of Hebrews, it helps us to know just a little bit about our target audience, who it's written to. That always makes a difference in the Bibles to find out who is this written to. And it was written to the Hebrews. And Hebrews is specifically for with the Jewish Christians in mind. Those that were Jews but were saved by the grace of God, and they became born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they still had all that Jewish or that Hebrew background in their lives. And we probably tend to forget that the early church was primarily a Jewish body of Christians. Our Lord Jesus Christ, well, he was Jewish. The disciples were Jewish. The city, Jerusalem, Acts chapter number 2, where we see the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people getting saved and thousands and thousands of people getting saved after a very short period of time. That was primarily a Jewish church. The writers of the New Testament were all primarily Jewish, and the early converts. And as I was singing about it yesterday, I think if you think about the church, if it was a building, you would say that it has a Jewish foundation and a Gentile building. You know, in the very beginning, the majority of the Christians were Jews. And in the end times, in the day in which we're living in, the majority of Christians are not Jewish, but they're Gentile believers. So in the very beginning, the majority of Christians were Jews. In the end, in our day, the majority of Christians are Gentiles. And can you imagine growing up if you were to live in the early days of the church and the days and the times of the Apostle Paul, if you would have grown up being a Jewish Christian? You would have grown up with an Old Testament heritage, meaning that it would have been nothing for you to go to the synagogue growing up. I'm talking about if we put our mind in the place of the Hebrew Christians, and if you would have become a Christian, but you would have grown up a Jewish person, and you would have went to the synagogue. You would have known about the temple and the sacrifices, and I believe that the sacrifices were still being made in the temple when the letter was written to the Hebrew Christians. If you look in chapter 10 and verse number 11, I believe you'll see there is a reference there to what was still going on in the temple. And the temple was in operation up until about 70 AD when it was destroyed. They carried on these sacrifices in the temple. Chapter 10 and verse 11, the Bible said, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." And so if you had received the letter to the Hebrew Christians, in your mind, you could imagine what was going on down there at the temple, that they were still having these sacrifices. They were still going through these rituals, and day after day after day, the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. And if you'd have been a Hebrew Christian, you'd have known what a priest was, and you'd have known what the sacrifices were, and your family would have been Jewish. And so we see that the book of Hebrews was written to inform them and remind them of the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. They would have grown up under the old covenant, the Old Testament, sacrifices and law and all of these things. Chapter 8 through 10, though, deals with a new covenant. If you look in chapter 8, we'll read a couple of verses over there in chapter number 8. And once again, he's talking about the difference between this old covenant and new covenant. He said in chapter 8, verse number 6, the Bible said, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." You know what? I'm thankful to be a New Testament Christian. We've got a better covenant. We've got better promises. He said in verse 7, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." Now, the fault with the first covenant is they couldn't keep it. They couldn't keep the old covenant. They couldn't live up to the law, the Old Testament law. And they were sinners before God. And there's no way to be saved under that old covenant. There's no salvation in the law of the Old Testament. It was imperfect in that matter, and they could not be saved. So the Lord Jesus Christ came to establish a second covenant. Now we call it the New Testament, or a new covenant. Look over in chapter 9 and verse number 11. We'll read a couple of verses over there. Chapter 9 and verse number 11, Jesus came to establish a better covenant, a new covenant. And it said in chapter 9 and verse 11, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And so he reminds them there that all the blood of the Old Testament could never wash their sins away. He said in verse number 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And so the book of Hebrews is a reminder to the Hebrew Christians that their salvation is not by their religion, but it is by their Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary, who done away with all that Old Testament law and all that blood that never could save. He shed blood upon Calvary that could save them from their sins. And so their salvation is not by their religion, but it's by his blood. And so in chapter 10 and verse 19, that's what he says one more time. He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. In fact, if I was given a title to the message, that's what I would call it. I would call it simply, by the blood of Jesus, or by the blood. By the blood. There's some things this morning I want us to see by the blood. And those Hebrew Christians needed to be reminded that their salvation was by the blood. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with us? You know, I grew up in church and I thank God that I did. I grew up in church. All I've known all of my life is church and going to church. And Sunday school and vacation Bible school and choir and the church and preaching and singing and all of these things. And many of you this morning, you're like me. You grew up in church. That's all you've known all your life. But you know what? This morning, if we're not careful, we might come to the place, or our children might come to the place that where we would think like them Old Testament Jews that our salvation is in our religion and not in our Redeemer. Especially those that have not been saved, our children might get to thinking that our salvation is all about our church and our religion and our routine and what we do, and it's just part of our lives. And we need to recognize this morning that our salvation and our religion needs to be Redeemer-centered. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and by His blood. And that's the only reason we can even say that we've been saved by the grace of God today. And I like, there's an old song that many of you have heard, and I really like the song. I wish I could sing one day. I'll be able to, but I like that song. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. That's what it's about. This morning, I'm going to show you some things by the blood. Number one this morning, I want to say, first of all, we have access by the blood. We have access to the Father by the blood. The Bible said in Hebrews 10 and 19 and 20, it said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Now, to the Jews, it's not a new thing to come to God by the blood. They knew about that. They'd heard about that all their lives. They knew that in order to come to God, you had to come by the way of the blood. There was no other way. They knew that. They understood that. If you look in chapter 9 and verse number 19, we'll look what the Word of God says over there. Now these Jews knew that they had to come to God by the blood. And you and I this morning, it'd be good for us to remember that the only way we're ever going to come to God is by the blood. But thank God we have access through the blood, and it's not the blood of an animal, but it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that grants us access to the Father. We have access by the blood. Now, The Bible said there in Hebrews 9 and 19, and by the way, I think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. So if I say Paul said, that's what I'm referring to, but I wouldn't argue with anybody about it. But he said in Hebrews 9 and 19, he said, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. And let me say, they knew what that was talking about. That's talking about that Old Testament law and those Old Testament sacrifices. And if you think it's hard to get up and come to church to worship God, you should have been an Old Testament Jew. Now, I'm telling you, their religion was it touched every area of their lives, and it was a burden to live under the law. They had to work at what they did to be right with God. So they knew about this Moses and the sacrifices, verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. They knew that the only chance they ever had of getting to God, having access to God, was buying through the blood. They knew that. That was their religion before they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They would have been taught about the importance of the blood from the book of Genesis all the way up until the times of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Even Adam couldn't get to God except apart from the blood. You know, Adam walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. And him and Eve had perfect fellowship. No hindrance, no veil. Nothing hindering their walk together. What a beautiful time that would have been. But they sinned against God, you know that. When they sinned against God, it broke their fellowship with God. They no longer had access to God anymore. When God came that next day or that next time, the Bible says that Adam and Eve, they hid themselves. They knew they didn't have access to God anymore. They knew they just couldn't go up and talk to God anymore. They knew they couldn't walk with God anymore. They knew it was broke. They knew it was ruined. And instead of wanting to be with God, they wanted to hide from God. You know what God had to do? The Bible said over in the book of Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 21, God had to come and God had to judge sin, and he judged the serpent there in the garden. But the Bible said in Genesis 3 and 21 that God made them coats of skins. He had to kill an animal, shed that animal's blood in order to cover them up, in order that they could once again have fellowship together. And I'm telling you, it's been that way. It's always been that way. To get to God, there has to be the shedding of blood. And they knew that. They knew that in the Old Testament there was Cain and there was Abel, and Cain brought of the fruit of his own hands, and he brought the best, the very best out of his garden. And I always imagine it like you see at a Thanksgiving time. One of them big horn looking things comes out of the garden, or maybe a basket. There's a name for that, just full of the prettiest corn and the prettiest fruit and the prettiest loaves of bread you ever seen in your life, all decked out, you know, something you'd get from somebody that made it professionally. And Cain brought that and offered it to God, the fruit of his own hands. And God looked at it and said, can't accept that. Can't take that. It's pretty and everything. And we know that Cain worked hard on it and all of them things. But God in heaven said, I just can't accept that. Cain had a brother, Abel, who was the keeper of the sheep. And Cain brought an offering from his flock, and he shed the blood of that lamb. And when he shed the blood of that lamb, God said, now I can take that.
I can take that. You cannot get to God apart from the blood. You can't get to God by the works of your own hands. You can't get to God by your good works or anything you ever done. The only way you can get to God is through the blood. Hebrews chapter number 10 is talking about the Day of Atonement that took place every year. And every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take an offering and he would sacrifice and pour out its blood to make an atonement for the children of Israel. Chapter 10 and verse 3. Look what the Bible says over there. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. The Day of Atonement had to take place every year. From the day of Moses all the way up until the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even beyond that, when we're reading in Hebrews about those daily sacrifices, every year they would practice the Day of Atonement. It said in verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." The Lord Jesus Christ came in a body of flesh. And that's what he's talking about. It's in verse 6, "And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I," this is Jesus Christ speaking, "then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." He came to be the final sacrifice. They had made a yearly sacrifice and they had to make that sacrifice every year. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to be the final sacrifice at Calvary. Now today it's not a yearly atonement, it's an eternal atonement. He paid the price once and for all. There's no more need for any more blood to be shed for us to have access to God, but we can have access to God. We don't have to wait on a day of the year to get here. Wouldn't that be bad? Wouldn't that be bad if you had to wait all year to get right with God? A lot of people can't make it Sunday to Sunday. Can't make it day to day. But what if you had to wait all year? You didn't have to wait on the day of the year to get here. You didn't have to wait on the priest and make sure that he was right with God and he was going to do everything like that he had to do and was supposed to do. And we don't have to wait on that anymore. Today, we have the Lord Jesus Christ and he's made the perfect sacrifice. God gave him a body, it said in Hebrews 10 and 9. Verse number 10, he said, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Boy, I like that. Once for all, he made the sacrifice. Verse 11, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Those Hebrew Christians, when they looked at what they were doing down there in the temple, they should have been reminded that all they were doing was for naught. That Jesus had already paid the eternal price. They didn't have to go and do all that stuff anymore. Verse 12 said, "But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God." That high priest, he couldn't sit down because his work was never done. But Jesus Christ, when he finished his work, he sat down on the right hand of God. His work's done. He made the perfect sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And he said, verse 13, "From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." You see what a difference there is there. We don't have to wait on a day. We have a way. We have a way by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 20 says, "By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil That is to say, his flesh. Jesus Christ gave his body. He gave his blood on Calvary's cross so that you and I could have access to God. You know, you remember when Jesus died on Calvary. Well, the Bible says in Luke chapter number 23, I believe it is, it says that darkness went over all the land. And the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top down to the bottom. God supernaturally ripped that veil in the temple. There's a veil between where the altar of incense and all of that was. And to get back into the Holy of Holies, they could just go back there one time a year on the Day of Atonement. When Jesus died upon the cross, ripped that curtain in two. You know what God was telling the world? I've made a way. You don't have to go to the priest no more. You don't have to bring a bull. You don't have to bring a lamb. You don't have to bring a ram no more. You don't need the Old Testament priest no more. You got a New Testament high priest. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You got a way to God. And it's by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I like that. That was by the blood. By the blood. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's why when John looked down the road and seen the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He knew that was the Lamb. Capital L-A-M-B. That's the first time in the Word of God the word Lamb is in capital letters when it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb that came to die on Calvary and shed His blood so that you and I could have access to God. You know, there's a lot of people, they don't like to think about the blood. There's a lot of people, they think to themselves and they'll say out loud, they'll say, I don't like that. I don't see how that God, if He's holy, why would God want a blood sacrifice? Isn't that primeval? Isn't that like them old pagan gods back there? Didn't they have to have a blood sacrifice? You know why it takes the blood? Because sin is the most awful thing that ever come into this world. Because our sin is so wicked and ungodly, and it totally cut us off and separated us from God, so it couldn't be that we could bring fruits and nuts and things and offer to God and make things right. If it wasn't for the blood, there'd be nothing but eternal hellfire for all of eternity for you and I. So God had to provide the very most precious thing in all of the universe, and that's the blood of His dear Son. That's why the Bible says, but with the precious blood of Christ, without blemish and without spot. And so the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary's tree to provide access for you and I so that we could get to God. We have access by the blood. And number two this morning, we have assurance by the blood. Read on down what those verses says there in verse 21. The Bible said this, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Said there, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We have assurance that we can come to God. Not only access to God, but we have assurance. We have boldness. We have confidence that we can come to God. Hebrews 4 and 15, the Bible said, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're not just invited to come. We're invited to come boldly. We're invited to come with assurance and confidence. How come we can be so sure, preacher? Because of the blood. And only because of the blood. Hebrews 3 and 12 said, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Do you ever feel like your prayers aren't getting past the ceiling? You ever feel like you pray and you pray and you just can't, that'd be a good way, can't get into it? Don't feel like you get any help from heaven whatsoever, that you're just saying words and going through motions, but there's no divine helper that'll come along and escort our prayers beyond the veil. Do you ever feel like, boy, I'm trying to pray, but I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not getting anywhere. Do you know what? When you feel like that, when you're going through times like that, there's one key to the throne room, and the key to the throne room has never been changed. It's still the same today that it's always been. And you say, preacher, how do you get into the throne room of prayer? By assurance. You go there by the blood. That's the way you've always gone. That's the way God's saints have always gotten into the throne room, has been by the blood, because it takes the blood. There's no other way, by the blood of Jesus. You know, I was studying over there about Elijah, and I like to study about Elijah. He prayed one of the most awesome prayers and had one of the most remarkable answers of anybody in the Word of God. Can you imagine praying and it being a contest? Now we say we're going to pray, and the world out here works and labors and wars against us, and we say, well, we're praying about it, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual. We're going to pray about it. But can you imagine going up against the world and saying, all right, we'll have a little prayer contest. And we're going to have a contest, and I'm going to pray, and God's going to either answer your prayer or God's going to answer my prayer. And the one that hears from heaven, let that God be God. Can you imagine? You talk about putting it all out there. And old Elijah, he had enough faith and enough assurance that he could get to God, hear from God, get an answer from God, that he wasn't afraid to have a prayer contest. We'll have a little prayer contest. We'll have a big prayer contest. And so they had a contest, a prayer contest. And so from what, daybreak till midday, them pagans, they called upon their God. They cut their wrist, shed their blood, screamed, hollered, had a rock concert. That's sort of what it looks like to me. All morning long, all morning long. And so Elijah said, all right, enough of that. It's my turn. He went down there. You read it when you get home. 1 Kings chapter number 18. You know what helped a whole lot of us? What Elijah did. First thing he did, verse number 30, the Bible said he repaired there the altar of the Lord. Say, preacher, why can't I pray? Maybe we've quit praying. Maybe we don't know how to pray because we don't have altars of prayer. We don't pray at home. We don't pray at church like we ought to. We don't pray by ourselves like we ought to. We forgot how to pray. We don't know how to pray. Oh, Elijah remembered some things about prayer, and he said, we're going to need an altar. And he repaired there the altar of the Lord. And then there's something else about that little 63-word prayer that he prayed over there that I've really not paid a whole lot of attention to down through the years, but it says in verse 33 that he cut the bullock in pieces and laid it in order upon the altar. You know what Elijah knew? Elijah knew if he's going to pray and hear from heaven, he's going to have to go by the blood. And when he made that sacrifice, that's what he was saying. He was saying, I can't go in and of myself. There has to be a sacrifice. There has to be bloodshed in order to get to God. And he knew that faith in prayer was by the blood. You try that sometime. Next time you're trying to pray, you can't get anywhere, you just try bragging on the blood. You just try praising God for the blood and just recite every verse you can remember about the blood of the Lord Jesus, and you just remind God how unworthy you are, and you know it's not because of you that you can come, but it's because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll find there's a way. And that way's never changed, and the lock's never been changed. And if you want to have assurance and faith in your prayer life, you're going to have to learn to pray about the blood and because of the blood and by the blood and because Jesus shed His precious blood upon Calvary that you and I can even be called the children of God. Children can come. I like that. I heard a preacher a while back, he was talking about being in his study on Saturday. And he said his family and everybody in the church knew that when he was in his study on Saturday that he didn't want to be bothered by nobody. And actually the person telling the story was the son. His daddy was a preacher. And he said a little old boy came to the door and knocked on the door and he wanted to see the preacher. And the wife met him at the door and she seen that the boy, whatever it was, I don't know if he is selling something or whatever it was, but she said, no. She said, you can't bother him and he's in his study. You can't go back there. And she sent the little boy away. And that preacher's son observed that. And a little bit later on, he needed to talk to his daddy about something. He said he just went to the hallway. He went into the study. He sat down. His daddy looked at him and said, what can I help you with? What can I do for you? He said, I can go to my daddy because I was his son. We can go to the Father because we're the children. If you're saved by the grace of God, aren't you glad you don't have to have a special appointment? Aren't you glad you don't have to go through some secretary or something like that because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? We can have assurance. And we can go to the Father. We have access by the blood. We have assurance by the blood. We have an assembly by the blood. Look in verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10. We have assembly by the blood. Verse 24, the Bible said this. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now when I first started reading my Bible and studying and trying to look at it and say, what's that mean? What's that mean? I read that wrong. When I seen that verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching, I promise, I thought to myself, if somebody's laying out of church, we'll encourage them the closer we get to Sunday that they need to be in church as ye see the day approaching. Not forsaking that. And so I had in my mind, well, that's talking about Sunday, and we need to be in church, and we need to encourage one another to be in church, and the closer we get to Sunday, we ought to encourage one another. Don't but see you on Sunday, but I thought that way for a while. Then I got studying and reading the Word of God, and we'll read on down a little bit farther here in a minute, but he wasn't talking about Sunday, he's talking about the day of the Lord. Jesus is coming. Don't be found absent from the assembly. We have an assembly. He's talking about the church assembly. He's talking about the gathering together of the saints of God. We live in a day and a time where to many, many people out here that say they're saved, the church is optional. If you go, you go. If you don't, you don't. There's a lot of groups meeting together today and they don't even think enough about the church to use the name church for their church. Or for their non-church, whatever it is, I don't know. But I think we ought to use the name the Lord uses. And He calls it a church. That word church is means called out assembly. That's what we are. Called out by the Lord Jesus Christ to be the children of God and assemble together. And we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. A lot of people don't use the book. They don't use the song book. They don't use the blessed old book, the Word of God. They don't use the name of the church. All they are is a social club. Wonder if they've ever read Acts 20 and 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Jesus shed His blood to purchase the church. And if He shed His blood to purchase the church, then to me the church is important. We have an assembly because of the blood. Jesus died and shed His blood and bought the church so that you and I could have fellowship together and assemble together. I'm thankful for the church myself. I'm thankful for a local, visible, I mean someplace I can go. People talk about the universal, invisible church. I don't know how you get there. Where do they meet together? Who's the pastor? I'm thankful for a church I can go to that has a preacher and a choir and grandmas and grandpas and families and an altar, and I'm thankful for the church. Jesus died upon the cross and gave His blood for the church. That's what the Bible says, that He hath purchased with His own blood. A lot of people don't like the church, but I'm thankful I was raised in church. I was saved in church. How many of you were saved in church? Boy, I can tell we lost an hour last night. I'm telling. I really can. And I guess when I was younger, it made me mad, but whatever. I was saved in church. I was raised in church. I've been corrected in church. I've been rebuked in church. I've been helped in church. The church has been an anchor in my life down through the years. Even when I wasn't right with God, I had enough sense to go to church. There was something down there at church that I needed. And I knew I wasn't going to get it if I didn't go there. Church has been an anchor in my life. It's been a blessing in my life. Preachers and pastors and Sunday school teachers and saints of God and old gray-haired saints should walk by and talk to, and they'd say, "I'm praying for you." And even when you was young and hugged on you and you didn't want to be hugged on, but thank God there's somebody in the church. God gave us a church. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the church. I know that salvation is not in the church, but I'm telling you, in a sense, it is. Because the Lord Jesus Christ gave the gospel to the church, and He gave the responsibility to the church. And the church sends out the gospel and the church preaches the gospel. I'm glad He didn't leave it up to Washington or Hollywood. Boy, we would be in a mess. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the saints of God that realized how important the church was. And the old time way and to stay there. The Bible said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'm thankful for the church. I got a call at the house the other day, and you know how that is. I used to think I didn't want caller ID, but I thank God for caller ID. It saves me a lot of time. Because there's a lot that I don't answer. And when, now, if you call from the church, we answer. I'll just tell you that. But if I get a call from 1-800 services or someplace in America, I don't know nobody, I don't know no missionaries, and you know how the temptation is, it might be, and you answer it, and sure enough, somebody wanting something. And somebody called the other day, and it was one of them times I thought, well, that might be a missionary. And so I answered it, and it wasn't a missionary, it's somebody wanting a donation for something, and I try not to be rude, and I listen to what they said, and when they got done, I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I appreciate that." I said, "But we give to our church. I know where my money's going. I know what we're doing with it. I know it's doing good. I know God's people's going to be good stewards over the things of God. I know where it's going, what it's going for, who it's going for. I'm just going to give my money to the church and the things of God. I believe that'll send it on ahead. I'm thankful for the church. We have an assembly because of the blood of Christ, that Jesus Christ shed His blood. And we have an assembly and we have an after. Now, I'm going to just read these verses after this. And I'm not going to comment all the way through them, but I want to say because of the blood, we have an after. After you got saved, does it matter how we live? Does it matter what we do? The Bible said in verse 26, let's just read these verses carefully and pay attention to what it's saying. It is not teaching that we lose our salvation, But it is teaching that because we are blood bought, we're accountable to God in heaven. And we'll either gain a reward or lose a reward. We will be oh so glad if we live our after right. And we'll be oh so sorry if we don't. You know, I've preached this before. Every prodigal don't come home. Look what the Bible said. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Let me just say there, if you could lose your salvation, that verse right there teaches you couldn't get it back. There's one sacrifice for sins. If you could sin and lose your salvation, there's no more sacrifice for sins. You couldn't get it back if you could lose it. That's why I thank God you can't lose your salvation. Because if you could, you couldn't get it back. Jesus died once for our sins. He redeems us once and for all of eternity. I'm thankful for that. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment, fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye? Shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Well, I tell you, that's how people do sometimes. The Spirit of God says don't do it, and we go ahead and do it anyway. Don't think there's not a penalty to pay for that. Verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, but to call remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated. Days of time when I was illuminated. And what I did after that's what we read about here. After ye got saved, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. He's saying, stick in there for the Lord. Don't throw away your confidence on sin and sinful life. And he said in verse 36, for ye have need of patience that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. What's the promise? Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. We've got an after to look forward to. The Lord Jesus is coming in his glory. And then he said in verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Look what he said in verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We don't believe you can lose your salvation. We believe in the saving of the soul. We do believe you can lose your reward. We do believe you can lose your joy. We do believe you can lose your fellowship. We do believe you can lose your crowns and your confidence in the Lord at His coming. You better be careful how you walk in this life. There's an after. There's an after by the blood. There's a way. There's a place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. There's an after that we have. That's by the blood. Our salvation is not by our religion, but it's by our Redeemer. And it's by our Redeemer this morning that we can pray and go to heaven to be with Him and live for Him and have victory. It's by the blood. I like that verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I'd like for us this morning to have our